This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBite. Almost time for us to wrap up, but of course we have one more story that we're going to get to in just a moment. Before we do that, though, just a reminder that we're asking a question. That question is, did your employment or your career situation change during the MCO? And if so, how did it change? We've asked for you to take part in the poll, one running on Twitter and one on Instagram. Numbers haven't changed that much in the past hour or so. Still at 77.7%. Of you saying no, nothing has changed. 17.7% saying yes, I'm now unemployed. 2.3% saying yes, I've changed jobs. And 2.3% of you saying yes, I've found a job. We've got a WhatsApp message from Bernard here. Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen to what Bernard has to say.
Yeah, he says, I would like to say about employment, I am suddenly on limbo as I am a contract staff that has a contract ending soon. I am now on limbo where I don't know if my contract will be renewed as the company has been impacted heavily by the COVID situation. Everyone else that are fresh graduates like me have pay cuts or forced unpaid leaves as well. Hope this COVID situation clears up soon.
I think we're all hoping it clears up soon, Bernard, as well. And, you know, take this opportunity, like we've said, to upskill yourself, do something a little bit different, perhaps look at other markets, stuff that maybe you haven't trained in that maybe you could migrate to as well. Mm-hmm. There's some opportunities out there. I know we have another tweet as well. Do we have time to hit that one up?
Yeah, just one that came in from What You Don't See 2.0. It says that company downsized on the team. We were told either to take a hike or be downgraded to part-time position. Some of us took the downgrade, some took a hike. This was just a day before government announced that companies can't fire staff due to MCO. Insider news, I guess.
Oh, ouch. That was sneaky.
Mm. Yeah. On Instagram, hasn't changed either. We still have yes at 48% and no at 52%. And I really think that, you know, this whole talk about changing careers in the midst of a pandemic is particularly pertinent to the story that I have because in a world where the live entertainment industry has essentially all but shut down, people have had to find very creative ways to carry on. So Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert and Trevor Noah are all hosting their shows from their houses, being interrupted by various children slash pets. And Saturday Night Live is started to do these Zoom-based skits. But now there is a virtual talk show that actually happens in the same room, complete with interviews and musical guests. And it is happening on a very surprising platform, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone that has talked to me in the past month has known that I don't have a Nintendo Switch, but I'm very enthusiastic about Animal Crossing and its iterations. And so Animal Crossing New Horizons is the new game on the Nintendo Switch, where basically you have a little avatar of yourself and you run around this little town full of anthropomorphized animals. But you can do a lot of things on there. Like, for example, you can create, you know, your own personalized rooms. Mm-hmm. You can also, you know, do things like invite your friends over to visit your island. And that is exactly what is happening with this, but on a very professional scale. So the person that has created this amazing thing is called Gary Whitta. He is actually a writer for Rogue One, a Star Wars story, and also the Book of Eli. Also, he's the former editor-in-chief of PC Gamer, but his current sort of pandemic endeavor is talk show host. So he uses Animal Crossing New Horizons to host a legitimately, actually live late night style talk show that he's coined Animal Talking, which I love. So obviously, as the pandemic has forced everyone inside, entertainment has fought to adapt, and you know, performers do their best to work together from a government mandated distance, and the results aren't always successful. But Whitta, safely tucked away in this sort of virtual dollhouse, has created entertainment that, you know, the pros just can't, because it's a live set, mm-hmm. complete with musical guests, comedians, and personalities in one room.
Yep.
So in just a few weeks, Animal Talking has grown from just like him and his friends goofing off in the basement of his house to a whole affair featuring celebrities like T-Pain and Elijah Wood and Danny Trejo and Greg Grunberg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whitta and his cohorts, EP and avatar puppeteer Leah Whitta, who's also his wife, and band leader and video editor Adam Nickerson, as well as a few volunteers here and there, created an entire late night show set in the game, a task that players know requires millions of in-game currency, meticulous scouting for just the right items, and a lot of time, complete with finding the right flattering camera angles for their streaming, you know, booking and preparing guests, you know, writing questions. And there are also some limits to, you know, how much this does look like a real talk show, because Animal Crossing's camera has its limits. You can't really move or alter the set once a guest is on island. And of course, you know, there are a lot of technical things where anytime a guest is booked for the show, the team has to make sure, you know, do they have a copy of the game? Are they set up with equipment to chat for a sound check? Will they control their own tiny adorable character, or does his wife need to create a customized character that she controls on their behalf? You know, so they basically learned how to do all this in 2 weeks, essentially. And what Witta says was they built the airplane while it was in the air. The show is currently booked solid through the end of May, and even more stars are trying to pile in. There are rumors that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will be making an appearance on the show shortly as well. She's also gone slightly viral for being on Animal Crossing in the first place. Witta also says, I've got major record labels and publicists calling me trying to get their guests on the show. He's also had offers from corporate sponsors, but he declines because it's a hobby and he wants to keep it that way. He said, as soon as this becomes Welcome to Animal Talking, brought to you by Kellogg Cornflakes, I feel like we've lost something. And the thing is, right, this the whole allure of this is that it's this really goofy escape from the real world, and it is the kind of entertainment that we miss so badly. People interacting, having these honest conversations in the same room. You know, there's no coronavirus in Animal Crossing. There's just cute villagers, you know, and adorable sets and tiny microphones. And, you know, Witta said that, you know, the game is already so wholesome and silly and fun. So, you know, this is like a nice way to take that silliness and that whimsicality and turn it into something that is super entertaining for people around the world.
I think this goes back to, you know, people having hobbies and just having the time to, you know, work on those hobbies and those passions now that they have like free time. Like, I'm sure he has projects that he's like writing on the side and movies that need his attention and stuff, but he has all this fluff time that he's able to go on Animal Crossing and then have like talk shows and, you know, connect with his network and get celebrities on. Also, what are celebrities going to say? They can't say no. At some point, what are they doing? Like, where are they? Yeah, like, they're not on any island. They're just stuck in their mansions or homes or whatever. So, and they need the publicity. So it's a good opportunity for you know, people with certain connections to entertain by connecting with those people now.
Yeah.
It reminds me of there's a TV show in the UK called the CBeebies. Christine's nodding her head emphatically. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's essentially, you know, children's television programming for kids, preschool kids for the most part. And they have this segment on there called Bedtime Stories. And so obviously when your kid is about to take a nap, they have somebody read out these bedtime stories to help them sleep. And it's kind of been running for a while. But now it's got to the point where celebrities are getting involved with that as well. So some celebrities are coming on the show and reading some of their favorite books to the
kids. The one with Tom Hardy.
It's the one with Tom Hardy, yes. Okay. So Tom Hardy is a recent you know, addition to this. But it's not the first time he's been doing this kind of thing. He gets involved in this thing kind of, you know, quite a lot. But stuff like T-Pain and Animal Crossing.
Yes.
And, the idea of British actors reading bedtime stories versus American rappers on Animal Crossing, you know, I see that glaring difference in some ways, you know.
I mean, I guess it's for different audiences as well.
Exactly.
So there is also that. But I love the power of the internet, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love that we are in the digital age where things like that can even happen in the first place. You know, someone can email Tom Hardy to be like, can you read a bedtime story to children?
Of course.
On television. And someone can also set up T-Pain in Animal Crossing to run around and be adorable.
Yeah.
You know, if you do have the opportunity, do go and check it out there. They are on Twitch, but they also upload the videos onto YouTube under Animal Talking. It's great.
I'm just wondering if they approached him before the lockdown, what his response to the request might have been back
T-Pain?
Then. Yeah.
Probably I have a concert or something, you know, I've got work to do, and now he's just at home. He's like,
sure,
why not? Why not? When you say different audiences, that's important, because I think kids enjoy the Tom Hardy reading the stories to them, and because they don't know Tom Hardy. But I saw like a 2-minute clip of that, and I was a bit, it's a bit frightening.
Yes.
Watching Tom Hardy like read this, you're like, what are you going to do? Like, you know, it looks like you're going to attack me at some point.
Don't be so mean to Tom Hardy. I'm sure he's a very nice man.
I'm sure he is.
on that note, ladies and gents, it is time for us to wrap up on this Friday, of course. We will be back, or rather, Team A, Team B will be back on Monday.
The other team.
The other team. To replace us here for the forthcoming week, of course. Audrey Raj, Frida Liu, and Jeff Sandu will be here in the studio. We have been asking that question, did your employment or your career situation change during the MCO, and if so, how? Numbers haven't really changed. 77% of you say no, nothing has changed. The rest is divided up between yes, I'm unemployed, yes, I've changed job, and yes, I've found a new job. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we have, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay with Raja Singham, the CEO of Brickfields Asia College. The law school Brickfields College was established shortly before the Asian financial crisis. And despite facing tumultuous economic times, it has evolved into present-day Brickfields Asia College, BAC, offering a wide array of courses. Can BAC survive another crisis? And how is it adapting its education services under the new normal? The Breakfast Grill spoke with its co-founder and CEO, Raja Singham. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of myself, Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes for another week. Up next, it is Duran Jones and the Indications with Don't You Know here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.